नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्ध ज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशांताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरंजनं नित्यं अनंतरूपं भक्तानुकंपाद्भुत विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेद्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृततुके नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्त्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दति। हैविंग एन्यूमरेटेड द बेनिफिट्स ऑफ सेल्फ नॉलेज, भगवान हैज ग्लोरिफाइड द सेल्फ नॉलेज टेलिंग दैट लाइक सेल्फ नॉलेज nothing can purify an individual. All other purificatory ceremonies like Ganga Snana, Japa, Puja, rituals, going to temples, all can remove one's papam. None of them can remove one's punyam. Why? Because they themselves are the acts of punya karma. So they will create punyam. They cannot remove punyam. Whereas jnanam removes both punyam and papam. By removing both punyam and papam, it removes the entire future janmas. It gives the freedom. Therefore Bhagavan says jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha na vidyate. How to get that knowledge? Bhagavan told tat svayam yoga samsiddhaha kale natmani vindati. In due course the person who is committed to this knowledge will gain this knowledge in due course. Where he will gain this knowledge? In his own mind. When he will gain it? In due course, after gaining the maturity through yoga, karma yoga and upasana yoga or bhakti yoga. Now Bhagavan going to point out very necessary qualification, inner qualification on the part of the seeker of this knowledge. He has glorified the knowledge. Now he says the seeker should have these important three qualifications on his part if at all he is serious about gaining this knowledge. We will read. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatparasanyatendriyah ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शांतिं अचिरेणाधिगच्छति। श्रद्धावान ज्ञानं लभते, इट इज ए इन्फिनिट डॉलर स्टेटमेंट, नॉट मिलियन डॉलर, इन्फिनिट डॉलर स्टेटमेंट। दिस वन वर्ड श्रद्धावान रिक्वायर्स एटलीस्ट 2 hours ऑफ एंक्वायरी। व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ श्रद्धा? इफ यू गो टू any book which is translated into English, simple 5-letter word faith, they will translate shraddha. Faithful attains knowledge. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam means, what is the translation? Faithful attains knowledge. So this one word shraddha we have to understand properly, because based on understanding of this one particular word only our entire spiritual life is going to be determined. So I am trying to convey to you maybe 2 classes for this word, maybe, we don't know. Let us see. Shraddha is translated in our Sanskrit language shastreshu guru vakyeshu cha satya buddhihi, trust in the validity of scriptures in revealing the Atma Swarupam. That is the translation. But generally, Shraddha is translated as belief or faith. The word faith, if you study the history of the world, or history of the very science, or history of the cultures. These are big studies. We don't have time. Still, I will try to share some of the salient things. If you study the history, this one word has divided the entire humanity into two. What is that word? Faith. That word has created lots of problems. It's a powerful word which demarcated religion and science. It's a most powerful word which was cause for demarcation of religion and science. This is the most powerful word which caused revolutions. It caused revolutions and gave birth to modern society. So, modern society considers this particular word as an enemy. I request your concentrated listening. Today class will be very dry, but very useful. No jokes, nothing. But I request your concentrated listening. This faith, the word faith, is understood by the modern society, by the revolutionaries, as superstition. One more word I am introducing. Shraddha was translated as faith. Now the faith is understood as superstition. What is the meaning of superstition? Whimsical thought process is called a superstition. It's not a fact. What you say is not a fact, but it is a whimsical thought process. That's called superstition. So science considers this faith as an enemy. Modern society considers this faith as an enemy. Why? Because the faith word is a friend of religion. In religion, suppose religion, all religions talk about God. Correct? What is the proof that God exists? What is the proof that Surga exists, Naraka exists? What is the proof that you have Punarjanma? What are the proof? Is there any proof? Other than that assertion of the religion, is there any proof? Other than the assertion of the religious people, or religious scriptures, or religious books, is there any other proof, tangible proof? They call it tangible proof. Every word is very, very important. So, modern society, especially scientists, consider this word, particular word, as an enemy to the humanity. Why? There is a reason for their consideration. It's not a simple assertion. The reason is, faith makes you to accept everything. We have accepted that God is there, Naraka is there, Surga is there. Without verification, we have accepted. We have not verified. We have not sit in meditation and found out, is there any God? Somebody told, I have seen God, we have accepted him. We have accepted his words, that's all. So, it makes you to swallow anything and everything without questioning. So, the faith word is an enemy for inquiry. Therefore, it is an enemy for science. Science is nothing but inquiry. Science will not accept anything without inquiry. Therefore, faith doesn't allow you to inquire. Therefore, it is an enemy. If you are a religious person, then you are a friend of faith. Being friend of faith, you are enemy of science. Since faith and science are inimical to each other, religion and science became inimical to each other. Scientists say, faith stops you or suppresses the spirit of inquiry, is an obstacle for questioning, and with faith, science cannot progress. If you have faith, science cannot progress. Because what is the definition of faith? Swallowing. Without inquiry, swallowing. Like children swallow the medicines given by parent or doctor. Simple, swallow. You swallow it, there is a God. And that God is in sitting in heaven. And that too, he doesn't have a form. And he has a chair, he sits there. You swallow. Everything you swallow. Theistic religions, Semitic religions, say that God doesn't have form, but he is a person watching you. God loves you, be careful. Hey, if he loves me, why should I be careful? So I swallow it. And there is a heaven. And that is a place. You have to go after the judgment day. And that too after death of this body. and that you will go and stay there eternally. Swallow another medicine. Are, if I go, I will come back. It cannot be. If it is a place in which I am going to reach in future, it cannot be a eternal. And there is a right side and left side. God doesn't have form, mind you. A formless God has right side and left side. So all these are all, you swallow as it is. And you call yourself as faithful follower of religion. Being a faithful follower of religion, you are active enemy of science. So it suppresses, the faith suppresses inquiry. And without inquiry, science cannot progress. Without progress of science, humanity cannot be a comfortable society. What is there? Science doesn't progress. What is the problem? Hey, your sense pleasure depends upon my progress. I am the person who is going to give you gadgets, iPad, iPod, TV, everything. I am going to give. Your religion is not going to give. So I am the person who is going to make this particular human life as a comfortable one. I cannot assure you happiness, but I can assure you comfort. Keeping AC room, you can be unhappy, but keeping AC room, you are comfortable. So I can assure you at least comfort. So without science, humanity cannot progress materially at least. Therefore, scientists say, these are all claims of scientists, you know, big assertions. If you study the history in the 18th century history, you will come across all these assertions. And I have not studied, these are all the teachings of my own Acharya Swamiji. He has studied it, so he has given, so I am just sharing it, that's all. I have not studied any of these things. So scientists say, faith belongs to dark ages, science belongs to age of enlightenment, age of inquiry, age of progress, age of questioning. This is the view about the faith in the modern society, and this view is broadcasted widely with loud voice. This view, what is that view? If you are faithful, you are not rational. You are not a thinking person. You swallow as it is. Whatever is told, either by your parent or by your people, those who have taken care of you in the childhood, whatever they told, you simply swallowed. Therefore, now modern society, in this modern society, many people prefer to be what? Faithless. Secularists is the word for them. We don't belong to any party. We are neither Christians, nor Islam, nor Hinduism, nothing. We are secularists. Without going to or without belonging to any particular religion. Because to say that I am religious, that means what? To say that I am religious means I am friend of faith. To say I am religious means I am faithful person, therefore I am friend of faith. If you say I am friend of faith, it means that I belong to dark ages, swallowing ages. So I am superstitious. That is why you cannot dare to apply the Bhasma religious marks on your forehead and go to your professional place. Can you do? Morning they do puja, Sandhya Vandanam, Gayatri, apply Vibhuti or Nama. Just you get away from the house, erase everything. Because with religious mark, you cannot go to your profession. Because that place is what? Secular place. Religion is not allowed. You cannot proclaim your religion. If you are other religious people, they can have that, at least some guts is there. A Islamic person has some guts to put on a topi and something. He proclaims by his hairstyle and mustache style and other thing. If he is a Christian, he proclaims at least a cross. He puts a cross openly. But if he is a Hindu, poor, mild Hindu, he is afraid of, shy of telling that I am a religious person. Why? If you tell you are a religious person, you are considered as superstitious, you are considered as a person belong to dark ages. But if you say, I am a secularist, I am a scientist, then you are rational. You don't accept. That means what? If you say that I am a scientist, what does it mean? Society society reveres you, it accepts you as a man of questioning, as a man of rational. Society honors you as an enlightened one and a progressive person. This is a new word has come, you know. Progressive society. I like this progressive society word, progressive. But what they mean progressive is the problem. It's a problematic meaning. Progressive society. In a society wherein dress culture need not be followed. That's called progressive society. Progressive society wherein anybody can live with anyone without marriage. This is called progressive society. So the word faith created a division in the humanity. One division is those who are superstitious, faithful, swallowing things as it is, and those who are rational, questioning. So if the word Shraddha, all these are meaning of faith, the word faith, I have not come across the word Shraddha. Suppose if you translate the word Sanskrit word as Shraddha, that means what? All these definitions belong to the word faith will come to Shraddha, correct? So Shraddha should not be translated as faith at all. It is a wrong translation. It should not be translated or understood, because there is no word. That is the problem. So our people who have gone to Western countries, they have taken the nearby meaning, but actually it doesn't have any meaning. It has a opposite meaning, like this. Even Swamiji says in his computer, the word Shraddha cannot be translated. Why? Because there is no equal vocabulary in your culture at all. Why there is no equal vocabulary? Because you don't have that concept of Shraddha at all. The actual meaning of Shraddha is Shraddha. If you want explanation in Sanskrit language, I will try to tell you. Upajivya pramana svatapramanya jnanam Shraddha. We are going to analyze this one statement. Upajivya pramana svatapramanya jnanam Shraddha. If you translate this statement, the knowledge of a principle which is arrived through the subtlest enquiry. Understood? Shraddha means the knowledge of a principle, the principle which is arrived by a subtlest enquiry. Millions of years before, our rishis, forefathers did this. It's a most daring enquiry in the creation, in the science. Even very question shakes the scientists. This enquiry very question shakes the scientists. Even now modern scientists consider this question as mind-boggling question. So therefore they avoid this question itself. Like our parent. Child will be asking something. So mother will be telling answer. How much she can say? How much she can understand, that much only. If she doesn't understand question at all, suppose the child asks, "Mummy, why the star doesn't fall? Everything, if I throw ball, it falls. If I throw anything, it falls. Why star doesn't fall, mummy?" If it asks that, what will tell mummy? Shut up your mouth, like that. No? Similarly, for scientists, this enquiry is a most mind-boggling enquiry. And what is that enquiry? This enquiry has two stages. Now we have come so far from the Gita. Understand? We have come so far from the Gita because it is important. I am trying to convey to you. Shraddha should never be understood as faith, because faith, the meaning of the word faith means you swallow without enquiry. Shraddha means is the knowledge of the enquiry. Understood? Shraddha means the subtlest knowledge of the subtlest enquiry, and faith means without any enquiry what you swallow. So both cannot be equated. Therefore Shraddha should not be translated as faith. So what is the subtlest enquiry? This enquiry has two stages. First stage, we will see, our forefathers, rishis, asked a fundamental question. Is there a word in front of me objectively? Is there a word in front of me objectively? Is the fundamental question. Everybody will say, yes, it is there. Like children, everybody will say, yes, it is there. Then the question comes, if you say yes, how you know that it is a fact, not a fiction, not an imagination? What is the proof that this world exists objectively different from you? What proves the objectivity of this world? Objective existence of the world is taken for granted by everyone, even by the scientists. Without answering this question, you cannot call yourself as a thinking being. You cannot call yourself as a rational being. Most of the scientists don't have answer for this question. They even avoid this question. Anybody accepts this existence of the world as an objective entity existing different from the individual, the seer, without answering this question? What is the question? What is the proof that it exists objectively? So that person should be considered superstitious. That person should be called as faithful. Understood? Now you understood? Faithful, what is the meaning of faithful? You swallow anything and everything without asking questions. So what is our question? Is there a creation objectively? If you say yes, what is the proof that there is a creation objectively? Is there a creation objectively, or is there a creation because you see? Srishti Drishti Vada it is called. Because you see is there, or because it is there you see, you tell. Mind boggling. Scientists say, do namaskara for this. Really, it is mind boggling. This enquiry was done by our forefathers, rishis, millions of years, and this Vedic culture is condemned as superstitious culture by the modern society. Understood? A dear, unfortunate thing. This Vedic society is the most rational society. It never stopped anywhere gaining the knowledge. Up to the end it went. So they arrived at a conclusion. What is the conclusion arrived by? For this question, science don't have any answer till date. Till date, science doesn't have any answer for this question. But we have found answer for this question millions of years before. The conclusion is, arrived by our rishis, the conclusion is, the world, the creation exists objectively. How can you say, what is the proof? The proof is, sense organs reveals this creation. Sense organs reveals this creation. Now the question comes, how do you know sense organs are valid source of knowledge? Are you getting? First question is there world at all? Second question is, what is the proof? If you say sense organs reveal, how you know the sense organs are valid source of knowledge? What is the proof that the eyes show is the final and factual? This is another dare devil question, they call it. These are all in science. Now a new department has come in science. They are trying to find out what is the meaning of that. Field theory, they call it. Field theory. Now atomic theory has gone. Now field theory. Because you observe, it behaves like that. Or it behaves like that, you are able to know that. It's a mind-boggling question. So scientists are bewildered by this question. And many scientists dismiss the very question itself. If you claim that you are rational, what is our view? If anyone claims that they are rational, they are scientific, they are questioning, they should dare to ask this question and try to come out with an answer. Without asking this question, what is the proof for validity of sense organs? If you have taken for granted about their validity, then the person is superstitious. So this rishi culture alone, Vedic culture alone, till date is alive, keeping this one question, and it is the mind-boggling question for everyone. Till date it is alive, it keeps the spirit of enquiry. Indian philosophers have kept the spirit of enquiry. The answer is, sense organs are valid source of knowledge. Why? Because their validity doesn't depend upon any other second entity. It's a little difficult thing, you have to understand properly. How you know sense organs are valid? How you know sense organs are valid? Sense organs are valid because their validity doesn't depend upon any other thing in the creation. Their validity fulfills three criteria. They are primary source of knowledge. Their validity is intrinsic in their nature. Suppose somebody asks, what is the proof that fire is hot? What is the proof that fire is hot? He will tell what? I touched it, so I can't know. Okay. Because you touched it, that cannot be the proof. The fire should have heat all the time. If somebody touches, suppose that time, if fire is cold, what will happen? So every time everybody touches, it should be hot. So heatness must be intrinsic in the fire, then only it cannot be disputable. You cannot negate it. Similarly, here the validity of say, sense organs, capacity to reveal something, particular knowledge, is inbuilt. And they have three criteria. You cannot negate them criteria. What are the three criteria? Anadhigatam, abhaditam, arthavad. This also Sanskrit. Anadhigatam means what one particular sense organ reveal is an unique knowledge. It is a unique knowledge. Eyes, what eyes reveal is unique knowledge. You cannot verify it. You cannot verify it. That is called anadhikatam. Abhaditam means it cannot be dismissed by another source of knowledge. It cannot be dismissed by another sense organ. Five sense organs are there, na? Suppose the eyes shows that this mic is black color. I cannot ask my ears, can you verify it? I can ask your eyes only, but I cannot ask my ears, can you verify it? So each knowledge is unique to that particular sense organ. That is called anadhikatam, and each knowledge is indisputable, not negatable. It cannot negate. Then third criterion is arthavat. There is a utility. In that knowledge which is revealed by sense organs has some utility. Eyes work in the field of forms and colors, ears work in the field of sound, and nose work in the field of smell, tongue work in the field of taste, and skin work in the field of touch. If anyone doesn't have one particular sense organ, he is devoid of that particular field itself. If a person doesn't have eyes, what happens? The particular aspect of the creation is totally nil for him. That Rupa Prapancha, totally nil. For a person who is deaf, the Shabda Prapancha is totally nil. This Prapancha means this creation has five aspects. Forms, sound, then smell, taste, and touch. So any one particular organ, sense organ is missing, your particular aspect of that corresponding aspect of the world is totally missing. You cannot replace it. There is no substitution. So as even you operate each sense organ, your knowledge of external world expands. So each sense organ has its own field. You cannot interchange. It is independent of another sense organ. Therefore, there is no access for another sense organ to work in that field, and it cannot be verified. And more important is, one is not a threat to the another. One is not a threat to the another. One cannot work in another field, one point. One is not dependent on another point. Third one is, one cannot verify the another. Fourth one is not a threat for another. Eyes are not threat for the ears. Therefore, all the five sense organs are valid primary source of knowledge. They are called a prabhala pramanam or upajivya pramanam. In Sanskrit, they are called prabhala pramanam, means powerful. No option, unnegatable, non-negotiable, unverifiable. So neither you can negate it, nor you need to prove it. Yeah, that is the final. And science accepts this. Scientists say, all our theories are scientific achievements are, what is the final word? What is the final word? Observation. What is the meaning of observation? Observation means what? Accepting the final validity of the knowledge revealed by the sense organs as the final one. And that observation can be repeated. It can be verified by another person. It is not only an individual thing. It is available for everyone. Whoever has the access to this particular instrument of knowledge, they have access to the particular field of knowledge. So it is not a whimsical one. Therefore, they accepted it as the primary source of knowledge, unnegotiable. You cannot negotiate with them. The knowledge gained through them is valid, factual, trustworthy, final, and unverifiable. You don't have any choice with regard to their functioning. You cannot have any choice. I am bored with seeing through eyes, appa. Children will have this type of imagination, you know. I am bored with seeing with eyes. Can I use my ears to see? So one child was doing a lot of mischief. Then mother told, hey, go to Krishna and tell, Bhagavan, don't make me as a mischievous child. Please correct me like that, you go and pray. What mischief the child did? Showing the dog, the child was telling, tiger is coming, tiger is coming, tiger is coming. So mother was telling, hey, it is not tiger, it is dog. One time she corrected, second time she corrected, but this fellow is not at all accepting it. So all the time he was telling, showing the dog, tiger is coming, and he makes others also afraid. So mother told, go to Lord and pray like this. The child went to Krishna, then came back with all laughing. What happened? No. I told like this, my mother is scolding. I told Krishna, make me a nice child. Don't make a mischievous child like that, I told. Then immediately Krishna laughed and told, I was too much mischievous than you. I showed dog and told a donkey is coming. Because children imagination can be any way. Similarly, you cannot have your whims and fancies with regard to the functioning. Your whims and fancies or your moods or your commands cannot affect their function. You say, I order you, my dear eyes, I order you, see this red flower as black. Can you say? Can you say? With all obedience, it will show you red only. Understand? For my sake, you please show it as black. You can meditate a red flower as black flower. That is whims, imagination. But you cannot see a red flower as black flower. There is no option for you. Your moods, you are just bored or you are angry. Therefore, red flower appears to you as a black flower. So, unnegotiable. Your whims and fancies, moods cannot affect them. This understanding of the validity of the sense organs is called Shraddha. Understood? What is the meaning of Shraddha? The understanding or the knowledge that the sense organs are the primary valid source of knowledge is called Shraddha. So now you tell whether scientists have this Shraddha or not. They have Shraddha because they also accept. What they accept? Sense organs are the valid source of knowledge and primary valid source of knowledge. Therefore, Shraddha is not faith. Shraddha is not a mere belief. It is the knowledge born out of the most fundamental inquiry. Now, how can the modern society consider Shraddha as an enemy to inquiry? Understand? But if you translate it faith, then generally they will consider like that. So Shraddha as an enemy cannot be considered. In fact, Shraddha promotes inquiry. If you don't have Shraddha, that means you have not gone through this fundamental inquiry. That means you have taken for granted about the validity of sense organs, about the existence of the external world as a separate entity. And therefore, the person who doesn't have Shraddha will be superstitious. We have turned the table. Initially, what was the idea? One who has Shraddha is superstitious. Now, what is the assertion of the Vedic culture? One who doesn't have Shraddha is superstitious. That is why Bhagavan has told, what he told in the shloka? Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. If you have that inquiry, if you have that fundamental inquiry about the validity of the primary source of knowledge, about the prabhala pramanam, upajivya pramanam, if you have that knowledge, then you have Shraddha. Once you understand this much, then you can go to second stage. This much is clear? Can I summarize? We asked first, what is the proof that there is a world other than you? If you say, is there a world? We asked the question, is there any creation at all other than you? You told yes, yes. Then what is the proof? What is the proof? Then you told, I am seeing, you say. So what is the proof that your seeing is a valid one? Because it is you are seeing, or because you see it is there. What is the proof that whether it is a fact or a fiction? Because children see so many things which is not at all there. And lunatics see so many things which is not at all there. So what is the difference between a sane, intelligent person and a lunatic person? What is the difference? When he says there is an elephant, you call him as a insane, mental. But when you say there is an elephant, everybody accepts you. What is the difference? So we say there is a validity in the primary source of knowledge called sense organs. Sense organs are primary sources of knowledge. Then again question came, what is the proof that they are primary source of knowledge? The answer is, they have intrinsic validity. What are they? Anadigatam, abhaditam, arthavat. You cannot question their validity because intrinsically they are valid. They have unique field of work. That unique field cannot be interchange. You cannot verify, nor you can negate. You cannot verify one thing. You cannot negate also. That which is not negatable stands as a fact, correct? That which is not negatable stands as a fact. Somebody says, somebody cries, there is a snake. All go and see. If really there is a snake, really there is a snake means what is the meaning? If it is available for everybody's sense perception, we say, yes, a snake, and a beat. And when everybody goes there and see, if there is a rope only according to the sense perception, what we call the person who told there is a snake, we call him mad. Correct? Because his statement that there is a snake is negated. His perception that there is a snake is negated by your perception. So therefore, the perception is unnegatable. The knowledge which is revealed by the sense organs are unnegatable. Not interchangeable, not verifiable, need not be provable. If this much you understand, now we will go to second stage. Now only Shastra is going to come. The question is, the second stage also has a lot of questions. The question is, can these five sense organs reveal all the aspects of human life? or all the aspects of creation? Can these five sense organs reveal all the aspects of creation? Scientists say no. They say no, it can reveal only five aspects. What are they? Shabda prapancha, rupa prapancha, gandha prapancha, then rasa prapancha. Like that only it can deal with five elements. It can deal with all the five sense organs can deal with five elements. Elements means, you know, akasha, space, air, agni, fire and water and prithvi. They can deal with five elements only. There are so many other things in the creation which doesn't come under, which don't come under this field of sense organs. What are they? For example, your emotions, human emotions doesn't come under. Your anger is not revealed by any sense organ. You are angry. If you open mouth, others come to know. Correct? If you don't open mouth, there is no scanner that you are angry. To show that you are angry. There is no scanner to show that you tell lie. Suppose if there is a pramanam in somebody's head or somewhere else, every time a person says lie, it will blink. Suppose something is, imagine, some sort of sense organ. What will happen in the world and modern society? Everywhere blinking only you will be seeing. Because every moment of life is lie. People tell lie, oh lie. They tell lie to the Lord also. So your emotions, your anger, your love, your hatred, your vengeance, your jealous don't come under the purview of sense organs. And your imaginations, your speculations, your theorizations don't come under pratyaksha pramana. And most importantly, absence of something doesn't come under pratyaksha pramana. Suppose something is absent, your eyes cannot reveal that it is absent. Suppose I ask, you go and see whether the person has come or not. You go there and come and say, no, he has not come. I ask, how you know? I saw. What you saw? Yeah, your eyes can see only form. Your eyes cannot see absence of form. So what you saw? So that knowledge doesn't come under, that's a knowledge. He is not there, it's a knowledge. That doesn't come under sense perceptions. So it comes under anupalabdhi, another. See, now you can understand the deepness, the sincerity of our forefathers in this particular field. Before going to any analysis, first they analyzed this one particular analysis, the Pramana Shastram it is called. Very deep, elaborate it is. And without getting clarity with regard to Pramana Shastram, don't study any of the literature, their assertions. Don't gain any knowledge. It will give confusion. So, they have come out with an answer. These five sense organs cannot cover all the aspects of the creation. There are so many things which don't come under the purview of five sense organs. Therefore, they have found out another five sources of knowledge. One is anumanam, inference. You see a smoke on the mountain. Or in the apartment. Nowadays in the mountain you are not able to see. So I will tell apartment. You see a smoke in a particular apartment. What do you say? Hey, apartment is in fire. You tell, nah? You have not seen the fire. You have not seen the fire. You are seeing, your eyes show only smoke. But you say, apartment is in fire. How you know? Because you can know, you have seen already in some other place the coexistence of fire and smoke. Wherever smoke is there, fire will be there. Wherever fire is there, smoke need not be there. Understood? Gas stove you have, there is no smoke, but fire is there. But wherever smoke is there, fire must be there. Without fire, there is no possibility of smoke. No, you can say, there is a fog also like that. Fog is like that. Fog is not smoke. Understood? It is your problem that you have misunderstood. Fog as a smoke. So it is called inference. Second one is presumption. In presumption, what you do? Suppose early morning you get up, entire road is flooded with water. And you wonder how it is, how it happened. Then you conclude that yesterday night might have been rain. How you know? You have not seen rain. It can be corporation lorry water also. You presume something. That's called assumption. And comparison. Oh, that person is this person, you say. That person is like this person, you say. How you know? That person is not in your perception now. So to say, to compare both, you should have both in the perception. But one is perceived earlier, another is perceived now. That earlier perception and now present perception is connected like that. It's called comparison. And anupalabdhi, non-cognition. Non-cognition means absence of something. I told you, nah? The person is not there, you say. How you know? You say, I see. What you see? You saw his form already, and that form is in your memory. Now that form you are bringing to your memory and ask your eyes to see whether that form is there or not. I say nothing is there. So you say, he has not come. Understood? Then fifth one is shabdaha. Words, all the spoken words, written words, entire literature, books and everything comes under this pramanam shabda. So through shabda also you can learn many things. Kailash Manasarovar, there is a book. So you know Kailash Manasarovar by reading it. On the basis of perception of Kailash Manasarovar, an author writes a book. On the perception of something you infer, you presume. So these other five sources of knowledge are called secondary sources of knowledge. Secondary sources of knowledge, because these sources depend upon primary source called pratyaksham. And they don't have any independent field. They are validated by primary source. If you understand this much, then we will go for next question. Is there any pramanam? Is there any source of knowledge which can talk about the consciousness? Is there any source of knowledge? Now, how many sources we saw? Five primary source, five secondary source. Is there any source of knowledge which can talk about the seer, the experiencer, the perceiver, the observer, the conscious entity? Is there any source of knowledge? Science told there is nothing called perceiver at all. Then again, perceiver is a mental aberration. Consciousness is a product of certain nerve currents, they told. That's all. Because you cannot negate it, because consciousness is not available to go and ask, hey, consciousness, tell. You are a product of nerve current, or do you really exist or not? So one question, is there any source of knowledge which can talk about the subject of all experiences? The observer of all observations, is there anyone to reveal him? Then second question is, are you tired of knowing only the observed objects, or are you interested in knowing the observer? The person can say, I am not interested in knowing the observer. I am not interested in knowing what is the color of my eyes. I am not interested in knowing what is the taste of my tongue. I am not interested in knowing the knower. You can live the life. You can happily live the life. Nothing is going to trouble us materially. But Vedic culture says you cannot be satisfied in your life if you don't ask this question, that is there any source of knowledge which can talk about the seer, which can talk about the observer, which can talk about the consciousness. And if you don't have interest in knowing them, you will be bored with seeing the same five elements. You will be bored. What can you do? Only same thing you can eat, same thing you can talk, same thing you can see, perceive, enjoy, that's all. Charvita Charvananam. Shastra says, people who eat the same thing which is already eaten. We speak the same thing which is already spoken. We think the same thing about the thing, same thing. Yesterday also it is called at someone, say, today also it is called. Yesterday ate the same idli, dosa, same thing. Now also 20 items only, 20 people only, 20 types of talks only, 20 types of examples only, 20 types of the imaginations only. You see any cinema, all love cinema, rounding the tree. Indian cinema means they will round the tree. It's a unique in Indian cinema. Boyfriend or girlfriend, they will round the tree, duet song. This you don't find in Western culture. Because they are in hurry. They are in hurry. No innovation. That is the reason every small thing becomes a sensation. Now modern society is bored. Because child is bored, people are bored. Same news, here murder, that murder, this murder. So one earthquake. So all people were very, very sensitized. Last week, I think, 10 days before. And media is showing. What it is showing, you know? Some sadhus told, a fellow was showing, a small bottle was little bit shaking. The bottle shaking, that fellow was showing, half an hour it seems. That is called earthquake. Nothing happened. Because we want some sensations. And if Shastra says, or Vedic culture says, if you want daily, every moment sensation, come with me, I will make you sensational by your thinking process. Because the question, is there any pramanam to know the knower, presupposes a lot of understanding. First understanding is, there must be a knower other than the known object. First understanding. There must be no, this science doesn't accept this at all. This study, this under first stage of understanding, science doesn't accept. There is no knower other than the known objects. Consciousness is a product. It comes under observed product. It is not the observer, the subject. Science doesn't accept it. So to ask the question, that is there an observer who is different from? Who is different from observed creation presupposes so many understanding. One 8-year-old boy asked this question. To ask this question itself, you have to give salute. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat, anyatra asmat krutat krutat, anyatra bhuta cha bhavyascha, yetat pashyasi tatvada. That boy Nachiketa says that student asks, if you know answer, you tell, don't bluff me. First warning to the teacher. Don't bluff me. Yetat pashyasi tadvata. I know there must be something which is different from cause and effect. There is nothing in the world other than the consciousness different from cause and effect. Everything is cause or everything is effect. What is there which is different from cause and effect? What is there which is different from three periods of time? Either future, present or past, it should not come under three periods of their time. What is there? Nothing is there in the observed world. What is that beyond good and bad? Another boy asks in another Upanishad. Because of which these eyes are seeing, because of which the ears are hearing, because of which the tongue is tasting, yas. What is that, yas? Kenechitam patati preshitam manaha. To ask this question, you need lot of understanding. It is called thinking out of box. It is the real thinking out of the box. We have taken for granted. So many things we have taken for granted. This boy asks, there must be something which is the activator of all the sense organs. Sense organs are inert. This question must precede an understanding what? The sense organs are inert, correct? It doesn't have independent existence. It is working because somebody is making work it. So if you are interested in knowing all these questions, answers to all these questions, then Vedic culture says, come, I will give one source of knowledge, and that source of knowledge is Veda. Veda is Shabda Pramanam, Shastra Shabda Pramanam. How it is a valid source of knowledge, a primary source of knowledge, how it is going to reveal the individual, nature of individual or consciousness. Those details you will see in the next class. Om Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo.